The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, and I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. It is Tuesday, June 18th, 2024. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, first time hopping on here, wherever you're from, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And while you're doing that, I want to welcome all of our Apple and Spotify podcasters listening. All you guys that are watching or listening by the rebroadcast, we welcome you as well. Listen, do me a favor before we get started on tonight's topic. Please smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. This is not only going to help you keep up with our program, but it's also going to help us push our material out there on these algorithms on Rumble and YouTube so others can see our messages and be blessed just like you are as well. So tonight, guys, I want to confess to you that I had an entire topic lined up that I wanted to discuss, but about 2 hours before I was actually going to record this program, I felt like the Holy Spirit completely changed my entire course of direction and message. And I'm going to be speaking from my heart tonight. And it's funny because I have many people message me. They email me, they message me, they text me, and they say, their favorite messages and what they like to listen to of all of the topics that we do, it's always when we go off the cuff, no notes. We just are led by the Spirit and we just talk from our heart. So that's if that's you tonight. And these are the kind of messages you like, you're going to definitely love tonight. Because tonight, I really felt a shift in my spirit. And I don't know, guys, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's because of the circumstances in which we are facing as a nation, what is ahead. Maybe there's some things that are in the future that where we're going, where this is going to make this important and why we're going to talk about this tonight. I want to give you our foundational scripture tonight. This is going to be out of the book of James chapter 5. We're going to go down here. I'm going to start at verse 13. This is going to be the entire foundation in which we're going to talk. Our topic is going to be tonight. Here we go. James 5:13. We'll start at verse 13, but that's not where I want to hang my hat tonight. If you have a Bible, please go there with me. If you're listening by, you know, Apple or Spotify by podcast, you guys that are watching the visual of this, you can see this on your screen. All right, this was written by James. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Somebody say pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Hear it again. There's the term pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So notice here, we have pray, pray, and prayer. So this entire, from verse 13 all the way down to verse 15, it is inundated with pray, praying, and prayer. Then in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another, and pray. So here we go. We continue in this thread of prayer. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Now listen to this important passage right here. Ready? Now your King James will say this: the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Your New King James says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now that word fervent here is a word, it literally means boiling, hot, glowing. Figuratively, it means a violent or furious type of prayer. This is not when James was trying to articulate the Greek language to describe what fervent prayer meant. This prayer is not a prayer this is not a type of prayer that you would pray over your meal when you're asked to say blessing. This is not a, I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep type of prayer. This is not a popcorn prayer. This is not a quick, five to 10 word prayer. This is a get down intercession, going a militant warfare, spiritual warfare type of prayer. Now, some of y'all, listen, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about because y'all ain't never prayed like this. And that's a shame. And again, I feel like, I don't know who this is for tonight, but I want to talk about the power of the effectual fervent prayer of a believer. That's what we're talking about tonight. The power of a fervent, red-hot, boiling, glowing, violent, militant prayer life of a believer. And here's the key. Ready? Let me go back to the book of James. I want to show you this because you got to see the visual of this. Look what he says. This type of prayer avails much. So, now, watch this. Verse 17, let's bring it all into context tonight before we really start digging deeper. Then it uses an illustration with a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, or he prayed with fervency, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So here's a picture again of Elijah the prophet. And it uses this picture, and you can find this in the book of, I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Kings, where there is a famine in the land. This famine has come because of the wickedness of the leadership of the nation at that time. Elijah calls on a famine to come, and Elijah begins to fervently pray to break this drought, to break this famine. And he prays once, he prays multiple times, and through his intercessory prayer, through his effectual prayer life, his militant warfare intercession, the heavens were rended and God and the famine was broken. And what I love about this passage of James chapter 5, it says that he, listen, we try to put Elijah on this pedestal, like, well, we're talking about Elijah the prophet here. We're talking about the guy who was taken up in a chariot of fire and like a whirlwind into heaven. We're talking about the Elijah that confronted Ahab and Jezebel. We're talking about the same Elijah that defeated the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Yes. Yes, we're talking about the same Elijah. And your Bible said he was a man with a nature like ours. But the thing, oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you today, Elijah had the same temptations as you and I. He dealt with lust. He dealt with worry. He dealt with doubt. He dealt with fear. He dealt with unbelief. He dealt with insecurities. He dealt with all. He was tempted in all points, just like you and I. He was a man like ours. He had a nature like ours. Come on. He had problems sometimes. He would get angry and say something he regretted. Come on. He would say four-letter words, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's working and he smashes his thumb and something slips out and he's like, oh, Lord, forgive me for that. I'm not trying to undermine Elijah and try to make him like this a dirty sinner, but I'm trying to tell you we're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and we all have an Adamic nature, a carnal nature. And I love that it says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but what set Elijah apart from a normal man or woman was the fact that he had an effective, fervent prayer life. He knew how to touch heaven. And I'm going to tell you, his friend, when you go into the Bible and it talks about as he gets down into he gets into a fetal position, he begins to intercede, he begins to pray. Not once, not twice, multiple times he begins to pray and he begins to intercede, and he would send his servant out and he says, do you see anything? Do you hear anything? And I said, no. And he keeps praying. No. He keeps praying. Do you see something now? No. He keeps praying. And then finally he gets the news. You know what? We see something. We see a cloud the size of a man's fist coming. And Elijah said, there it is. That's all I needed to know. I know I'm on the right track. I just got to keep praying. I got to keep interceding. meeting. I got to keep standing in the gap and making up the hedge. Oh, I'm equipping somebody tonight. Listen, some of you, you're hitting brass heavens. You're seeking answers. You're looking for direction. You're looking for breakthrough. You're looking for deliverance. You're looking for a healing. You're looking for a marital reconciliation. You're looking for prodigals to come back home. You're looking for your business to thrive, your church to survive. You're looking for all these things. But the key, friends, to getting the breakthrough, getting the deliverance, getting the healing, getting the answer to prayer, getting the direction, come on, getting the miracle, is the key is in your prayer closet. Come on, I'm preaching a message today that the devil don't want you to know and he doesn't want you to hear. And I know I'm on track with this, guys, because of all the adversity I get over these type of messages. See, the devil is not threatened by you behind a microphone, behind a pulpit, in a podcast. He's not threatening you. He's not threatened by your TikTok influence or your social media status. He's not threatened by all that stuff. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. In fact, the devil offered all that stuff to Jesus if he would just bow down and worship him. He said, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. So you getting on top and you having all this prestige and you having this big platform and you having all these followers, you think that's a notoriety, a blessing, but that's not always the case, because my Bible talks about some of the most blessed and most influential and anointed men of God didn't have any of that stuff. They didn't have that. They didn't have platforms and prestige and spotlight, and they were not influencers. Come on, they were not influencers as far as celebrity status, but they were influencers in the kingdom of God because they shook nations, they rebuked leaders, and they fought back against the kingdom of darkness. Come on, hallelujah. I'm saying tonight, I believe God wants to tell somebody today that it's time for you to step up your prayer life. I'm not saying you're not praying. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying that we aren't praying, because listen, this message is to me as much as it is to you. He said, wait a minute. Well, Brother Ricky, I've heard you pray. You pray. Yes, you heard me pray, but guys, I can always step it up. Friends, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I put those things behind me and I press towards the mark. I want to have such an intercessory prayer life. I want to have such a devotion in prayer that I can hear secrets from heaven, that God would begin to reveal to me things in the light that were in the darkness. He'll begin to unravel enigmas and mysteries that I can't comprehend and I can't figure out, like Daniel. And I wrestle with these things, and then I get into prayer and I get into intercession, and suddenly he begins to give me the answers to these, to the solutions and to these things. Let me give you some examples of this. All through my walk for 24 years of serving the Lord, I'm going to tell you, there's been so many times, and you guys have heard me talk about, probably I've broke down multiple podcasts where I've talked about different scenarios and situations where God, through prayer, guys, let me tell you, prayer is the key that gets you through that door. Everything else beyond that, obedience, all that stuff, you got to get into the presence of God through prayer. Prayer is the key. That's your communication line to God. You pray to God through you communicating with him, and you open your Bible so you can hear from God. Now, reading your Bible is not the only way that you hear from God. He can speak to your inner man through the Holy Spirit. You can pray. You have a prayer language. And God, don't ask me to break down all these, you know, six different ways to hear from God. We've done messages like that, by the way. They're on our archives of our podcast, but I'm going to tell you, so I don't limit, you know, some denominations limit the way you can hear from God, and it's only the word of God. And I'm not taking away from that, because if you say you hear from God through your spirit man, or an angel appears to you, or you have a dream, or you have a vision, or you have a word of knowledge, all of that should hinge on the word of God. The word of God is the ultimate measuring rod, because if you have a dream, a vision, an encounter, whatever, and if it contradicts the word of God, then somebody's a liar and it's not God. Hello? Y'all hear what I'm saying here? So again, what I'm saying is, though, is when you begin to get serious in intercession and in prayer, God will begin to reveal things to you that you had not previously had any knowledge of or understanding of, or it may have been something that was hid from you. Remember, Jesus said, whatsoever things that are spoken in darkness, I'll be make known into the light. Whatever spoken in secrecy, it will be made in public. Oh, come on. Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your secret place or go into your room and pray in secret so that your Father in heaven sees you in secret, hears you in secret, and rewards you openly. Many of the open blessings that people see about you. How do you have a thriving marriage? How do you have such wonderful children that are all serving the Lord and they're obedient to the Lord and they're obedient to their parents? How have you prospered? How are you walking in divine health? How did you overcome that sickness? How did you overcome that infirmity? How did you come back from the brink of divorce? How did your ministry survive? How did your business thrive when all the other ministries or when all the other businesses crumbled and they collapsed? What they only see the open, public, outward expression of the blessing of God. But what they don't see, they never saw you behind the scenes, rolling up your sleeves, come on, getting on your knees, interceding, praying effectually, fervently, come on, blood, sweat, and tears, toiling, come on, in the flesh and in the spirit, in prayer, until something happens, until that cloud of a small fist begins to appear and gives you that hope, gives you that faith, and gives you, come on, that push to keep pressing through until you see the full manifestation of what you've been praying for. See, I know for a fact in my own life that my mother, my stepfather, my biological father, those three that I can name right off the bat, and many of you heard my testimonies about these. I know for a fact that those three individuals would have never fully given their heart to the Lord if I wouldn't have stood in the gap and made up the hedge and prayed for them and interceded for them, then none of them, I firmly believe this, that none of them, there's a good chance, I will say that they probably wouldn't have made it into the kingdom. But because God had put it on my heart, because of my compassion for them, I stood in the gap, I interceded and prayed. And when I say interceding and prayed, friends, again, I wasn't just praying one day and saying, Lord, I thank you that you're going to save my mom and save my dad. Hallelujah. Praise God and move on. No, I am talking about laying on the carpet face first, bawling my eyes out, travailing and interceding and crying out to God for them to be saved from a devil's hell. And God would deliver them out of alcoholism and deliver them out of unbelief and deliver them from all kinds of bondages and root causes that was keeping them in darkness and from the kingdom of God, to the point where I'm talking about you get up off the floor and the carpet is stained with tears. Your knees are beat red from being on your knees and praying to God and intercede. You've lost your voice, you're hoarse. Your eyes are bloodshot and swollen from all the tears. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. And some of you, friends, listen, you're not seeing your prayers answered because you have not entered into this kind of travail and this kind of intercession. But I don't know who this was for, but God interrupted my entire program. Said, no, you're not going to talk about that today. You're going to talk about this today. So this may be your message tonight. Listen, you want Bible for that? In the book of Acts, here you have in the book of Acts chapter 12, Herod had slain James, the brother of Jesus, of John, excuse me, with the sword, and Peter was next. This struck fear into the heart of the church. James had already been martyred. Peter was next. He was on death row, and the entire church got serious. They begin to intercede. They begin to plead. They begin to travail. They entered into an effectual, fervent time of prayer and intercession. And as a result of that, through their prayer and intercession, God sent an angel of the Lord to intervene and set Peter free. And Peter shows up at the door of the intercessors to show them, listen, your effectual, fervent prayer has availed much, and here is the manifestation of the thing in which you have prayed and travailed and believed for. Hallelujah. Come on, that's all in Acts chapter 21. It's right there. Excuse me, Acts chapter 12. Listen, I'm going to prove to you that the church of Philippi had some intercessors who understood the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Paul understood this, and this is why he wrote to the church of Philippi. I'm going to read this. This is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Listen what Paul says here. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Look what he says here. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine? What greater honor would it be if I said to you that if I was in a predicament where I was in prison for the gospel, my life was threatened to be taken, I was next on the chopping block, and what honor would it be if I wrote to you, I called you, I texted you, I FaceTimed you, and said, listen, I know that you are concerned. I know that you're a little bit fearful and you're worried about my for the sake of me. But then I told you, as Paul said to the church of Philippi, I know, listen, my brothers and sisters, this is going to turn out for my deliverance. Why? Because I know your prayer life and I trust the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Come on, wouldn't that be a great honor? I'm telling you, that, oh, come on. That's what pushes me, guys. When someone calls me or texts me or messages me, and they say, I've got a matter that I need you to pray about because I know that you can touch God. I know you know how to pray. There is not a greater honor than someone to say that to me. And you know what that does, guys? That pushes me to pray even more. Why? Because I don't want to fail them. And I know it's not about me, guys. I know it's not me. It's God. But I'm telling you, we are the ambassadors of Christ and we stand in. You may be the only person in your entire family and your prayer life supplies the provision for someone in your family. Your prayer life has protected someone in your family. Your prayer life has produced the deliverance of family members or friends or coworkers that were bound in drugs and alcohol and bondages. And it wasn't AA that set them free or counseling or rehabilitation. Come on. It was through your prayers and intercession and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And they, come on, they better thank God they have somebody like you in their life, or somebody that's, come on, the you that's getting ready to come into that position. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. You may not have that kind of a prayer life right now, but God's conditioning you and he's preparing you to have that kind of prayer life. And listen, and then there's those of us, including yours truly, you and I would not even be here today if it had not been for these people in our lives that God positioned in our lives. Come on, in our family, in our circle of friends, people that we work with, people that we went to church with that interceded and they prayed and they knew how to touch God and they didn't. And come on. And aren't you glad they didn't just say, oh, Lord, just touch them in Jesus' name. No, they went into their prayer closet. They shut the door and they went to war with the gates of hell over your soul and over your deliverance in Jesus' name. Come on. Let's thank the Lord for that. Now, let me go back here. So Paul says, look, I know this is going to turn out for my deliverance because I know your prayer life and the supply of Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope Paul had an expectation that when people know how to pray, something is going to happen. Wow, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So what he's telling him, he says, if it's the will of God for me to leave this life and live and go on into eternity, then God will be magnified. If not, he will be magnified through me staying. Listen to what he says in verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Come on, y'all ever heard that scripture? And to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, or if I remain in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh. Oh, I gotta highlight this. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Stop. It what? Him to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Listen, Paul understood a revelation that I want to share with you today. Have you ever wondered? My wife made a statement the other night. Listen, I'm going to be open and transparent with you. I've served the Lord for 24 years, and I'm telling you, I've had friends, family, and coworkers that have all died. Not all, but many of them have gone on to be with either they've gone on to be with the Lord, or they pass into eternity without knowing the Lord. I'm talking about, I can name at least six people that I consider friends that have all died. I'm talking about my mother, my father, my stepmother, my grandmother, my grandfather. I'm talking about coworkers. You guys have heard me talk about people that I've witnessed to at my workplaces that I told them they need to get right with God, they need to serve God, they need to surrender to God, and it was into their hands. And then a week later, I got the news that they died in a car accident or a motorcycle accident, and they died. It's like God was positioning me. And I remember one time I went on a 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I met a man that I knew him back in high school. I hadn't seen him in years. During 21 days of prayer and fasting, I came across him. I saw him. His name was Mark. And I shared with him my testimony of how I got saved. And his eyes got big as half dollars. And he said, wow, are you kidding me? I said, no. And I shared with him my whole testimony. And he said, you're never going to believe what happened to me just about 3 days ago. And I said, what happened? He said, I believe I died. And he said, in fact, they told me that I had died for so long, and they revived him and brought him back. And he shared this life after death experience with me. This guy, he said he saw the lights. He said he felt his spirit coming out, but he said something pulled him back in his body. And he found out later there was people praying for him, and that he was struggling with this. He said, I don't understand. And then I realized that he wasn't right with God. And I believe God spared him through somebody else's prayer. Come on, I'm still in Philippians 1. God spared him. Somebody was interceding for him. Somebody was praying for him, spared him. And then that day, God just so happened to put me in his path. And I shared the gospel with him. And I gave him a word of knowledge. I began to speak things over him. And I said, Mark, I said, this is not a coincidence that God has put me in your path. You need to fully surrender your life to Christ. Stop playing games. You should be, if God was merciful to you, gave you another chance. I remember this. I prayed with him. He began to go to church with me, but then I don't know what happened to him. He just kind of faded out of the picture. I pray to God that he is either serving God now or somehow he got back on track. I don't know. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about, listen, God, if you're an intercessor and you learn how to pray like this, God is going to position you and put you in places and circumstances, because people are kept, literally, people have been kept alive through the preservation of your prayer. Through your prayers and your intercessions, God has preserved people that should have passed in a drug overdose, should have died on the interstate, should have died in a circumstance, whatever the case may be. And this is why, listen, this is so powerful. So right now, One of my dear friends, I've known him for 20 years. A good friend of mine, he struggled with his walk with God all of his life. Back and forth and back and forth. And one of the devices that the devil has used against him, the main device is alcohol. And you want to know why Brother Ricky hates alcohol? You want to know why we are teetotalers? My wife and I don't touch it. We don't have anything alcoholic in our home. We detest it. The reason why, guys, I watched it destroy my family. It destroyed my mother. It destroyed my father. It destroyed my stepfather. It's taken friends from me. And now, right now, as we speak, I have a friend of 20 years that is in the last stages of cirrhosis of the liver, all from drinking alcohol. He can't get, he's not on a donor list because he's disqualified from it because of his history of alcoholism. So I'm believing God for a miracle. I'm believing God will preserve him. But above all that, I'm praying that he gets that peace with God. And so I had to drive up to Tennessee this weekend to go spend some time with him there in the hospital. And then on our way back, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, it kind of wears you down a little bit. It messes with your mind when you start thinking about all the people that I know personally, that I knew personally. That person is gone. That person's gone into eternity. That person's gone on with the Lord. That person died suddenly. I was like, it's almost like everybody around me is passed. Why am I still standing? And she made a comment that was profound to me. She said, perhaps it's because God has preserved you because you are one of the main intercessors and you're the main salt and light and influencers for the kingdom in their life that God has put in the position of life. And when she said that, it was like, wow, because I remember this in Philippians 1, Paul said, He said, I would desire to go on to be with the Lord. Listen, you can't threaten a Christian with heaven. Are you kidding me? You pass from this life into eternity, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fear, no more tears, no more pain, none of that. You receive your reward, your crown of the crown of righteousness that's laid up for me in heaven. That's your reward. You're the end of your salvation. And Paul said that. He said, for me to depart would be much greater. But he said, if the Lord has me and chooses for me to remain, it is more needful for you. Paul understood something. Paul was not going anywhere and leaving this earth until the assignment that God had put on his life was finished. And then God would permit Paul to finish his race and finish his course. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. I can look back on my life. I can tell you story after story. I remember dreams after dreams. I remember I had a dream one time where I saw a friend of mine. And I'll tell you his name because I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to my podcast. But if he does, then he would verify to you. But his name was Billy. He was another guy I grew up with in my childhood. We played basketball together. We hung out with, we went to school together. But then I got saved and he was still out doing his thing. He was still drinking. He was still partying. He was living for the devil. And I remember one night I had a dream. And in this dream, I'm telling you, I saw, it was full color, three dimensional. I saw the type of vehicle. I saw people in the vehicle. I saw him in the vehicle. And I saw them in a car accident. And I knew I had to wake up. I began to intercede. I began to travail. I began to plead the blood of Jesus over him. I began to ask God to be merciful over him. And I remember, and time went on. I didn't see him. I didn't have his number anymore. And I ran into him about a year later and I saw him and I told him about the dream and his face turned like pale white. And he says, wow. And I described the vehicle. I described how many people was in the car. He said, you know, he said that happened. He said, I had a car accident, and he said, but I never, he said, I walked away from the car, and he said that it, the car was mangled so bad that they couldn't figure out how I was able to walk out alive from that wreck. And I said, well, so I said, Billy, I said, I believe God put it on my heart to pray for you and intercede for you. Now, here's what you don't know is he had two grandparents that lived right across the street from my parents that I grew up with in Kentucky, and they were very godly. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and so I know for a fact that they were praying for him as well. Come on, hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you today, listen, I come by to today. The Lord come by today to interrupt this program to tell you it's time to put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants. You need breakthrough. You need deliverance. You need answers to prayer. You need provision. You need blessing. You need promotion. You need increase. You need, come on, a turnaround in your health. You need a turnaround in your marriage. You need prodigal sons and daughters to come to the Lord. You need God to break the spirit of stupid off your kids that are acting all like a fool when you've trained them up in the way in which they should go, that when they're older, they should not depart from it, but they are just acting like absolute fools. And you're wondering, what is it going to take? Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take, come on, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. It's time for us. We got to stop patty caking. We're in perilous times. Our nation is on the precipice of completely collapsing. Our culture is so upside down right now. People don't know where they're going, who they are, what gender they are, nothing. They're walking, they're groping in darkness. Their madness has come upon people. Absolute, just complete chaos. I want to share with you another story out of 2 Kings 20, and then I'm going to pull up a video that of a testimony that I remember that is going to, I believe it's going to bless you, and then we're going to pray for some folks. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20. Here is the story of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, your Bible says in Hezekiah 2 Kings 20, it says he was sick and near death. And the prophet Isaiah went to him and told him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now think about this, friends. This is in the Old Testament. And a prophet of God who has a credible list of miracles. He has all the credentials. He is credible in the community. The nation of Israel knows him. He is a prophet of God. He hears from God. He is 100% accurate. He comes to the king and he tells him, the Lord said, set your house in order, for today you're going to die. But watch this. Hezekiah did not accept the diagnosis. He didn't accept the word of the Lord. As bold as that is, look what it says here. So Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed. Somebody say prayed. He didn't just pray. He didn't just say, oh, well, Lord, if it be thy will, I pray that you would extend my life. Amen. He didn't say that. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. This must be the will of the Lord. That's not how he prayed, my friend. It said he prayed to the Lord saying, remember me now, Lord. I pray how I've walked before you in truth. I've prayed. The Bible says he prayed and he said, I've walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And the Bible, and here's the key. Look at this. Hezekiah wept bitterly. You do know the Bible says that a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not turn away. He is nigh unto those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Those, come on, the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Ask and and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Those that draw near to God, he says he will draw near to you. I'm telling you, Hezekiah understood the power of intercessory prayer. He began to weep before the Lord. He began to travail before the Lord. And I want to remind you, James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hezekiah was righteous before God. He served God. He loved God. He honored the Lord. And this is what he was reminding him in 2 Kings 20. He says, look, I've walked before you in truth. I have a loyal heart to you. I've done what's good in your sight. And he begins to weep before the Lord. And he's saying, oh, God, spare me. God, let this death sentence, come on, not prevail over me. And the Bible says, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him. So this is God speaking back to him. He said, return and tell this man, Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus saith the Lord God, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. Golly, I have heard your prayer. I come by to tell you that God hears your prayers. He hears the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Thus saith the Lord, I have heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. Yes, God sees your tears. You know that? Did you know that the Bible says in the book of Psalms that your tears are stored in a book in heaven? I don't understand how can God store our tears and put them in a book in heaven? I don't know, but the Bible says they are. But he says, I've heard your prayers, I've seen your tears, and surely I will heal you. So the Bible says that he extended Hezekiah's life through, come on, Hezekiah getting down and praying and interceding and travailing in Jesus' name until something happened. Now listen, I'm about to share with you a testimony by a man, many of you guys know who this is. This is Perry Stone, but it's not his testimony. It's a testimony about his dad, Fred Stone. And I was blessed to meet Fred Stone many years ago. This is one of the most humble, anointed, powerhouse men of God that I've ever met in the flesh that I knew personally. And he wrote a book many years ago, and I have this book. It's called Fire on the Altar, Winning the Battle Through Unconditional Surrender. This is a powerful book. If you don't have this book, I recommend this book. Read this book. It will set a fire down in your heart and in your spirit. So this is what I'm talking about in this testimony. So I'm going to pull up this clip. We're going to watch this together. This is powerful. Now, remember, what are we talking about? We're talking about the power of an effectual, fervent prayer life and how it prevails in our life. Listen to this testimony, and then I want to pray for some folks.
I have an uncle. He's now passed away, but his name was Morgan Ball. He was my dad's half-brother, but dad called him his brother. Different fathers, same mother. And Morgan got hurt in a church in West Virginia many years ago. In fact, it would have been 40 years he got hurt. Dad was just saved. Morgan won my dad to the Lord, invited him to revival. They were both going to church. And a boy named Jimmy got drunk, came into the church, and threatened a knife on people. He was the pastor's son, of all things. Well, Morgan jumped on him and said, oh, don't you come in here like that. And the pastor jumped on Morgan for jumping on his drunk son. And then he said, come on out here. It was Morgan Boss. Said, come on out here, Morgan. We'll put on a good show for people and fight. And Morgan threw his coat off and he probably cussed and said, come on. And then the pastor broke it up and Jimmy left. And Morgan said, if that's the way you are, I am never coming back to church. And he never went back to church for 40 years. And he's the man that won my dad to the Lord, man. And my dad, when he got to be older, in his 60s, I used to him praying, God, don't let the man that won me to you go to hell. I know he's not living right. I know he's doing really bad stuff, but God, don't let that man, you can't let the man that got me saved go to hell. My dad used to pray it.
Now listen to that prayer. Fred Stone was praying. Listen to that. He was pleading with God, don't let him go to hell. I'm talking about that effectual, fervent prayer, that compassion, that getting on your face and pleading before the Lord. Just keep that in mind.
And years ago, I was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina. No, I'm sorry. Kings Mountain, North Carolina. And my dad came to see me, and he was holding his, you remember this, Pam, he was holding his belly like this, and he was at the parsonage. He said, "Can I sit down for a minute, Perry? I want to tell you something." I said, "Yes, sir, Dad, you sure can." He said, "Let me tell you what happened today." He said, "I was in prayer." He lived a couple hours up the road from us in Troutman, North Carolina at the time. And he said, "I was in prayer, and I was laying across the bed, and I was reading a book, and I fell asleep." He said, "I don't even know how I fell asleep." And he said, "When I fell asleep, I saw a vision." And he said, I saw a vehicle hit a West Virginia coal truck head on. And when it hit it, it decapitated the passenger. He said, "I couldn't even tell who it was, but I saw it happen, like just real fast." Decapitated, and it killed the driver and the passenger. But he said, "I remember the passenger actually got decapitated." And I jumped up and said, "Dear God, what have I seen?" And the Lord said, "Your brother Morgan will be killed today on a road in West Virginia."
Now, stop. Notice here. Fred Stone had such a prayer life that he would pray and God would give him visions and dreams about circumstances, situations that would happen in the future. But there was a reason for that, for him to intercede and pray over that. Okay. And then second, notice how immediately when he said, "Lord, what was that?" And he had such an ear to God and was in tune with God that he immediately heard the answer to what he prayed and asked the Lord for. "Lord, what did you show me?" And he told him, "This is going to be your brother, Morgan. This is what's going to happen to him." Now, I want you to listen carefully because Perry's going to show you how his dad responded from this vision.
And he started crying and wailing. He said to Mom, "Juanita, don't bother me. I got to go over here. I got to go to the church and pray. Don't let nobody bother me." And he said, "I prayed for 1 hour in such pain and travail. God, you can't." First of all, I tried to call him on the phone. He wasn't home, so he knew he was out. And that's when he went to the church.
And by the way, that's Romans 8. "When you know not what you ought to pray, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities with groanings and earnings." That's what he's talking about there, Romans 8. He prayed for 1 hour. He was travailing. He was groaning.
Thought he could warn him on the phone. He wasn't home. I left that out. So he goes and prays for an hour. And I want to tell you what the Lord told him. Because my dad would pray in tongues, and he could interpret it. It was the most great. It was one of the most unusual.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the 9 gifts, by the way.
Gifts, but he never missed it.
And again, the cessationist out there will tell you, "Well, those don't exist. They've been done away with." Baloney. No, they do exist. They still. The man's telling you this. So again,
would let's give
move
an interpretation on. To himself. And the Bible said, if you pray in tongues, pray that you might interpret. So that's biblical. So listen to what happened. Give me just a second. I'm almost done, but this is hard to tell. He said the Lord spoke to him in tongues and interpretation. "Son," after an hour of prayer, he said, "you are asking me to protect one who has willfully walked away from the blood of my son."
Listen to that. That is profound. Man, I got chills from that. The Lord spoke to Fred and said, "You are asking me to deliver, protect someone who has willfully walked away from my covenant." So in other words, God said, "I'm not obligated to protect him because he willfully walked away." Oh, that's going to wreck some people's theology today. But listen, I know both these men. I know Perry and Fred personally. Okay? So I'm just saying, this is not embellishing and making this stuff up. These were real scenarios and stories. So this has always answered a question I've had as well. How God delivers people. We have family, we have friends, we have coworkers, acquaintances that we know that are not right with God. And we're the only ones that can pray for them and travail for them and intercede for them. And if it had not been for us, they wouldn't be here today. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Listen.
"And I cannot protect one in rebellion who has rejected the protective blood."
Wow.
And my dad started realizing his brother was going to die and go to hell. He said, "God, you can't let this happen. I can't stand the thought that the boy, when I was a teenager, that invited me to the revival, that he's not going to make it. And if he don't repent, Lord, he ain't going to make it because I know what he's doing. I know he was selling drugs and pornography and all kinds of stuff." And dad prayed 30 more minutes, and the Holy Spirit stopped him and said, "Okay, son. Do you remember in Northern Virginia, I gave you a vision of an angel in your church, and I told you He was your angel, but he would not always be there. He'd only be there when you needed. Do you remember?
All right, now, for everybody freaks out about this, well, where's that in the Bible? When Peter showed up at the house of Rhoda, when they were interceding, praying for him, remember, Rhoda showed up to the door, and she told, and if Peter was standing there, and she ran back. I have to do this, guys, because I'm telling you, there's so many unbelievers, skeptics, scoffers, mockers. She ran back, told the intercessors, it's Peter, it's Peter. Peter's standing at the door. He's been delivered. They didn't even believe their own prayers. They didn't even have faith to believe their own intercession. So they told Rhoda, it is not Peter. You're out of your mind. It's his angel. His angel. Well, consequently, his angel delivered him out of prison when he was in death row. Daniel had angels that delivered him out of the lion's den. There was one likened unto a son of man that was in the fiery furnace that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I myself have been delivered from the angel or angels of the Lord. I had that happen to me in a car accident I should have died in. You've heard me tell that story. The Lord showed me the night before I was supposed to die. The Lord showed me the night before how the enemy was going to take me out. I went across 8 lanes of a highway, interstate, pinned against my car, never touched the wheel. Closed my eyes, opened them. I was 8 lanes across the highway in the shoulder. Everybody, the police, bystanders, people was like, how did you live? How did you not hit a car? That was great driving. But the problem was I never touched the wheel because the angel of the Lord had delivered me. The book of Joshua talks about the Lord says, I'll send you the angel of the Lord that shall go before you and prosper you in the way in which you should go. So don't tell me it's not biblical. It is biblical.
And Dad said, yes, Lord. And God said, because you have a covenant with me, I will send your angel to West Virginia right now. And your brother will not die today. Here's what happened. And Dad just began to rejoice and cry. And he went to the phone and kept calling and calling. And at 3:30 in the afternoon, this is why he came to tell me this in the revival. He got dressed and came right down. He got Morgan on the phone in Davie, West Virginia, a little town in West Virginia. He said, Morgan, don't say a word because you were supposed to die today and you'd have gone to hell if you'd have died and you know it. He said, what do you mean, Fred? He said, I saw a West Virginia coal truck. I saw a vehicle hit it. And the driver was killed, but the other person in the passenger seat was decapitated. And that boy started wailing on the other end of the line, crying. He said, oh, God, Fred, I don't know how you see these things. But he said, I was driving across that road, and Dad knew the road. And he said, our neighbors, that older couple across the street, was behind us in the car. And I told my driver, he never drove. He always paid a driver to drive a vehicle. I told my driver, I said, pull over at this little, it's not even a restaurant, it's a hole in the road. But he said, I want to get a Coca-Cola, pull over. And he had the window down, and he waved that couple past him. They went on. He got in that store and said, why did I stop? And the driver said, well, you told me you wanted a Coca-Cola. He said, I don't want no Coca-Cola. I told you I want a Coca-Cola. And he said, well, might as well get one. And he got one and paid. They had not pulled over 6 minutes. Now, you listen to what happened. They go up the road, and there is that couple that had hit a coal truck head on, and it took her head off where Morgan would have been sitting. They would have hit the coal truck. The coal truck, actually, it was its fault. It got lost control, went on the other side of the road, a little road. And he cried, and he said, Morgan, you better start serving God. Now, listen to me. And right after that, he was in a restaurant, little hole in the road restaurant up in the mountains. And a guy walked in and he recognized him. It was Jimmy who had insulted him 40 years ago. He hadn't seen him in 40 years. And he told his buddy, So help me God. All he's got to do is open his mouth and I will bust every teeth that's in his mouth because he what he did to me. I've been wanting to get back at him for 40 years. And when he saw Morgan, he said, Morgan Ball, is that you? He said, yeah, Jimmy, what of it? And that boy started crying and shaking. And he said, Morgan, I've never forgot what I did to you. I've lived in torment for 40 years. He says, I moved right after that and got out of the mountains, but not a day went by that I thought, oh my God, that Morgan was a good boy serving God. Did I mess him up? He said, yeah, you messed me up for 40 years. And that man got down and said, I'm begging you. I do not want to die and leave this world without asking you to forgive me. And when Morgan called my dad, he said, Morgan, do you see what that you have let the devil, you've let the enemy for 40 years keep you out of church all because of an offense. And the whole time that boy was sorry he did it and was never able to tell you. Morgan, do you understand? You wasted 40 years. But I'm glad to say the devil never got him. He repented and started serving God. And he died right after my daddy did. The devil is a liar.
All right, guys, here's what I want to do right now. While the Holy Spirit is moving right now, I feel a need right now in Jesus' name to begin to pray and begin to intercede. Listen, there is people out there that are, I'm telling you, that are watching and listening that... they have people, you have people in your life. You're the only person, just like in that story, you're the Morgan, or excuse me, you're the Fred Stone that is interceding for a Morgan out there. That Morgan could be your father. It could be your mother. It could be your aunt, your uncle, your nephew, niece, cousin. It could be a brother, a sister. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker, a friend, a good friend of yours. You're the only individual that is standing in the gap and making up the hedge for them. And look, I can relate to what Perry said here. I can relate to what Fred, the grief that Fred was facing. Because listen, the man who led me to the Lord, who was a youth pastor many, many, many years ago. In fact, it was over 24 years ago. He led me to the Lord, but about 16 years ago, he led me to the Lord. He discipled me. He was equipping me. He was pouring out into me. And then about 16 years ago, so this was about 8 years after he led me to the Lord, he went into complete apostasy. He called me one night to confess to me that he was then an open homosexual. And I knew this was a lie from the pits of hell because he was engaged to women twice. But the thing was, he was hurt, he was wounded, and he opened the door for this. And God, just like all of this, I can relate to this. God gave me dreams about this. God was warning me beforehand before I ever have the conversation with him. And guys, do you know what that did to me? It ripped my heart out because the Lord spoke to me during that time and said that if I embrace that lifestyle, and this was when my oldest son, who is now 16 years of age, this was when he was first born. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you embrace that lifestyle and you put a welcome mat down for that lifestyle and let that come into your home, he said, I am not obligated to protect that spirit from coming upon. And at that time, I had one son upon your son. Now, that made my ears perk up real quick. And I had to tell him, in love, I love you, but you're wrong. And this is wrong. The Bible, the Word of God makes it clear. And that God is calling you to repent of this, and we can remain friends, but with boundaries. I cannot allow you to come into my home and permit you to come in my home. Guys, this ripped my heart out. So I am praying that too. I don't want this man to die in his sins. This man was a man who led me to the Lord. If it wasn't for his obedience and him evangelizing to me and loving me with the love of God, I wouldn't be here today. So listen, I refuse to be passive and just let him die and go to hell in Jesus' name. Come on, I'm not doing that today. So listen, I need somebody to pray with me today. If you can relate to Brother Ricky today, you understand what it's like. Maybe people are coming in your mind. Maybe you're like me. You've got a friend that's literally on his deathbed, and we're the only person that could be praying for him. Maybe you've got parents, grandparents. You've got friends. You got coworkers, and they're in a bondage. They're in addiction. They're on their deathbed, whatever the case may be. Come on, now is the time time to pray. Now is the time to begin to intercede. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that I have been obedient to deliver this message today. I don't know who it was for. Maybe it was for a handful. Maybe it was for a lot. But Lord, we want to be obedient to this word that's gone forth today. And oh God, we stand in the gap and we make up the hedge for those in which you have put in our proximity and put into our path and around us. Lord, we intercede and we begin to pray. Right now, the Lord put it in my heart. He recalled something to my remembrance. Some of y'all's heard this, some of y'all's not. Come on, just keep this attitude of prayer. I want to share with you a quick story. My stepfather, who literally was on his deathbed, and I led him to the Lord literally at the brink of his death. He accepted the Lord. He died within 2 minutes after that. I'm talking about, you want to talk about making it in by the skin of your teeth? I saw it with my own eyes. He has four sons. Three of the four are professed atheists. One of them has already passed on and died. I don't know if he got right with the Lord or not. We don't have communication anymore. The other two are professed atheists, and one of them was a backslid Sunday school teacher, and I know that because he was in the hospital at the moments right before he passed away. Many years after my stepfather passed and we lost communication with each other, I remember one night I had a dream, and I was sitting at a table just like this. I was here, and then across the table was my stepfather. My stepfather was there at the table, and he had a book that was open in front of him. I couldn't see what was it. I was not permitted to see what was in the book. But in the dream, I was looking at him, I was watching him, and he was crying, he was weeping, and the tears were falling, and they were hitting the pages of the book. And I didn't understand what it was. I woke up, and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what was this dream? Show me what this dream was. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me. He said, the reason why I showed you Jack, which was my stepfather, and the reason in the book is the book of life. And the reason why I showed you this in your dream is I showed you Jack, who represents his four, at that time it was his four sons that were still alive. But I showed you that you're the only one that is in their life that it can travail and pray for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. And my friends, that shook me up. So to this day, I continue to pray for them and intercede for them and pray that they would not leave this earth without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I shared this story with you, friends, because I'm trying to build your faith today. I'm trying to get you out of mediocrity in your prayer life. I'm trying to get you out of normal prayer life. I'm trying to transition you into a red hot, come on, fervent, hot, glowing, violent, furious prayer life where you will shut the door behind you and say, I'm not getting out of this prayer closet until I begin to see a breakthrough. I begin to hear testimonies. I begin to hear a report that something's changed. Something has shifted. Something's happening. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I lift up, Lord, every individual under the sound of my voice. I ask that, Lord God, that you would give them the courage, give them the strength, give them the discipline, give them the equip them to begin to raise them up to be prayer warriors and intercessors. They don't need to be, they don't have to have a title. They don't need to be a bishop, a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor. They don't need to be all that. All they need to be is a man or a woman of God that knows how to pray and intercede. And Lord, I lift up every individual. Lord, I lift up my friend, my dear friend, Chad, to you, God. Lord, the doctors have said they can do no more. They've done all they can do that they told him. To just live whatever life you've got. There's nothing more we can do. But God, I know I serve a God who can do the miraculous. I know I serve a God who can do the impossible. And God, I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'd step into that hospital bed right there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Lord, in that hospital, that you would touch him. If you'd have to, send an angel of God to touch him. Lord, give him in the middle of the night. Lord, shake him in a dream, shake him in a vision, shake him and encounter. Lord, minister healing in Jesus' name. I speak to his liver. God, I know that he destroyed his liver through his abuse of alcohol, a substance that destroyed it. And I know, according to your word, you said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we destroy our temples, you are not permitted to stop it, and you will allow it to happen. But God, I'm asking that you'd be merciful. I'm asking that you would intervene in this situation. Why are you listening to me pray for him? Because listen, somebody else out there, you may be in the same circumstance. You're praying for your friend. You're praying for your loved one who's, again, could be in the same circumstance. God, I'm asking in Jesus' name, oh God, that you'd be merciful. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, that wherever Brent's at, Lord, wherever he's at right now, God, I know that you know that, Lord, he was instrumental here on this earth of leading me to Christ and leading me to the Lord. God, I refuse to allow him to be comfortable in his sin and abominable lifestyle. I'm asking, God, that, Lord, you would wreck his life, that you would make it miserable to live in the temporal luxury of sin, but you would shake him out of his comfort of sin and the wages of death, and that you would pull him back into, come on, back into the light, back into the relationship that he once had. God, he's backslid, and I pray that, Father, you would restore it in Jesus' name. God, shake him with dreams of hell, shake him with an encounter. God, if he's got to hit rock bottom, Lord, then whatever it takes, God, let him come to the back to you in Jesus' name. Lord, just like Samson was anointed of God, he was used by God, but he got entangled with Delilah. He got wrapped up into lust, and it cost him his eyes. It cost him his anointing. He was bound and going round and around. But Lord, at the end of his life, Father, he came to his senses and broke off the chains. God, he got back on track, and at the end of his life, he served you once again, and he's now enlisted in the book of Hebrews as one of the heroes of faith. God, I know it's not how you start that matters, but how you finish. And I'm asking, God, in Jesus' name, that, Father, that every backslider under the sound of my voice, if they're not watching, if they're not listening, then they are one of the ones that we are praying and pleading and interceding for. In Jesus, come on, start calling them out. I'm talking to you. Don't just sit here and listen to Brother Ricky pray all night. You've got to travail. You've got to intercede. You've got to call them out by name. You've got to pray them in Jesus' name. Listen, you're sitting there like the prodigal father with your arms wide open, but you got to pray that their eyes of their understanding be open. They come to their senses, see the filth that they're in, so that they can come to their senses and go back running to the arms of the Father. Listen, I pray right now in Jesus' name that some people begin to get phone calls, letters, emails, and text messages and messages from people that you once knew that was on fire for God, that was loving God and serving God, but circumstances, drugs, alcohol, relationships, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hurts, whatever it is, pulled them out of church, pulled them out of covenant with God, pulled them away from God, and you've not seen them in months, seen them in years. And I pray that as they get delivered by faith in Jesus' name, that you're going to look at your phone, and it's going to be a phone call from somebody you haven't heard from in years. And if you'll answer that phone call, come on, God's going to restore some relationships in Jesus' name. Come on, God, I believe God's going to restore some health to people. He's going to cause some Hezekiahs, come on, to live longer today. The doctor told you, he said, get your house in order. But God's, come on, but if you'll begin to intercede, you'll begin to pray, God can turn this thing around and extend your life in Jesus' name. Come on, he gave you a point of reference to it out of the book of the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20. Come on, don't tell me God can't do it. Our God is a God of the impossible. Oh God, I thank you today. I thank you for hearing our prayers. I thank you for the prayer warriors that are rising up today. And some of you are taking your first step in interceding. Friends, listen, if you want to know why I have endeavored into this project in my own house to build an altar slash prayer room in my basement. This is why. I want a place that I can go in and seek the face of God so that I can hear clearly from God and know what he wants me to speak to the people and pray to the people and warn the people and for you and for my family, for myself, for my ministry and whatever the case would be. And God, listen, and it doesn't matter. You say, well, I don't have a prayer room like that. Listen, your prayer room can be your bathroom. It can be your shower. It can be your car. It can be your garage. It can be your backyard. It can be in your hammock. It can be in the woods when you're walking. It's a place, it's the secret place where you get with the Father who sees in secret and will reward you openly. Come on, do y'all understand what I'm saying today? So Father, I pray today that Father, that this word would be received, that prayers would be answered, and that we would see the thing in which we have prayed and believed for. And it's in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please do me a favor. Please, again, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. But above all that, if you would, please download our free app. Get it on, it's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Hit yes to push notifications. Why? So then you won't miss any headline and you won't miss any podcast when it's readily available. And listen, if this message blesses you, this ministry blesses you, it equips you, it informs you, it encourages you, all of the above, we want to give you an opportunity to sow into our ministry, partner with our ministry. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or the main website, again, right there on the screen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or you can do the old school method. Nothing wrong with that. You can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We will be back. We'll be off tomorrow, which will be Wednesday the 19th. And then we'll be right back here, Lord willing, Thursday night, June 20th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with whatever the Lord would have for us to do. I'm not going to say what we're going to talk about, because as sure enough as I say we're going to talk about this, the Lord could come in and change that. So that's why we typically try to announce what we're going to talk about the day of. Sometimes if I feel a strong enough word on it and I don't feel any release from that, then we'll go ahead and announce it a couple of days ahead of time. But there is sometimes like today that these messages will change up. So this is some of you guys, you love that about our ministry, and then there's others that are like, oh, I don't know. You know, but listen, we're spirit led. I don't make any apologies about that. So listen, we love you. We appreciate you. All of our partners, all of our supporters, our ministry, you know who you are, our prayer warriors, our intercessors. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. And we pray that until we see you in a couple of days, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.